Amen. One of my favorite preachers, Warren Wiersbe, once stated, "The unsaved world does not understand true Bible faith, probably because it sees so little faith in action in the church." The world doesn't understand biblical faith because it sees so little of it demonstrated in the church. I want to start off today giving you a quiz. Well, it's not really a quiz. I'm not going to grade you. But I want to see how much you know here. When you think of faith, great faith in the Bible, who do you think of? Who comes to mind when you think of faith in the Bible? Give me one.
Abraham.
Abraham's a good one. Abraham believed God and he reckoned it to him as
righteousness.
He's the father of all them that believe. Abraham, great, great man of faith. Ryan.
Noah
was a great man of faith. God said, "Noah, it's going to rain." The only thing is, it had never rained before. He said, "What's rain, Lord?" No, that was Bill Cosby, wasn't it? and he built this boat out in the middle of nowhere because God said, "It's going to rain, it's going to flood." And Noah was a great man of faith. Who else you think of? Peggy?
Job.
You're taking my sermon. Back in the back, Becky.
Paul.
Paul was an apostle, the apostle of faith. The just, he said, we'll live by faith. Karen.
Hannah.
Hannah was a great woman of faith. She believed God for a child, and she believed God. Gary?
Moses.
Man, having to deal with those people. It took a lot of faith in Moses. Gail?
Elijah
was a prophet of faith. He had some moments, but he had a great man of faith. I think of like Habakkuk, who said, "The just shall live by faith," and he showed it in his life. I think of the centurion, remember in the New Testament, that came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, heal my servant." And you remember what Jesus said? "I'll come with you." And he said what? "No, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority and I have men under my authority. I say to one, go, he goes. Another, come, he comes. Just speak the word, Jesus." And Jesus turned around and said, "I have not seen great faith like this in all of Israel." I mean, you could go through, you get the Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, and you have all these people listed. But there's one person that generally we don't think of when we think of faith. Only Peggy thinks of it. And that's Job. But Job was a great man of faith. I want you to take your Bibles, open up to Job chapter 1. Now, we've been studying this book. And you remember, Job was a man that suffered greatly. He had lost pretty much everything, all of his possessions, his business, his family. He had lost his children. You remember, in one swoop, he lost 10 children, and he lost his health. And you remember, his friends came, and his frenemies came and said, "You know what? We know why it is, Job. You are suffering because you're a big sinner. You're a big sinner." They were saying that all suffering is due to personal sin, which God says wrong. That is not true. In fact, God had said of Job what? He is upright and blameless. He fears God and what? Turns away from evil. In fact, there's nobody on planet Earth that's as righteous as my man Job. And yet he suffered. Now, we've gone through so far a first round of his friend's lectures or speeches. And I decided something. I'm not going to go through round two and three. And the reason I'm not going to is they say basically, you read through it in chapters 15 through 31, they say basically the same thing over and over, just louder and louder and with more anger and more frustration. So I'm the pastor, I can decide what I'm going to preach, and I'm not going to preach through that. We're gonna skip over those round two and round three. You read that, and but they're saying the same thing over and over and over again. They came to comfort. They ended up just attacking Job. They were worthless physicians. They were worthless counselors. And so I'm going to leave that for you to study those round two and round three. But what I want to get into this morning is the faith of Job. Usually when we think of Job, we think of patience, the patience of Job and the perseverance of Job. But I would say to you, I believe that patience and perseverance came out of Job's faith. They were byproducts. This man had great faith. Peggy, you're right. Job was a man of great faith. And you know, as I thought about that, God wants us to be people of faith. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. He tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I don't care what you do, if it's not done from faith, it does not please God. So God wants us to be people of faith. And yet, maybe as Wiersbe said, you look around, you know, who's really walking by faith? Who's really doing it? Well, I'll tell you what, Job was one that did it. And I think we can learn some lessons of faith from the life of Job. So I just want to just do a general. How did Job show his faith? First of all, number one, true faith praises God in the midst of suffering. Look down at chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, then Job arose and tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Now he had just lost everything. Now, this is before his health was taken away. But he had just lost his business, his wealth, his 10 children. There were 10 freshly dug graves right there. And all of the hosts of heaven and all of the hosts of hell were watching. How's he going to respond? What's he going to do? And Job, he expressed his grief. He was a godly man, but a grieving man. And by the way, when you're going through suffering, it's okay to be human. It's okay to grieve. We grieve even as Christians when we have a loss of a mom. We feel that pain. That's okay. God knows that. We're human. But in the midst of his great grief, in the midst of his overwhelming loss, he falls down and worships God. And he utters one of the most profound statements of faith that you'll ever hear. You see, he looks back to his birth. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb. What he was acknowledging there, that everything that he had, everything he owned, was given to him by God. And the same God who gave it had the right to take it away.
Yes, amen.
Job simply acknowledged, you know what he acknowledged, folks? And we got to remember this. He was just a steward. Just a steward. We don't own this stuff. We manage it right now for a little while. But it's from God. Every blessing. Naked I came from my mother's womb. He looked back, then he looked ahead to death. And he said, naked, I'm going to return there. Not to his mother's womb. He was going to return to the earth. He was going to die and one day be buried. And nothing that he acquired was going to be taken with him. Nothing. You know, I thought about that even this morning as I was going over this message, how the Egyptians, you remember what they used to do when they would bury their kings? They would bury them with a lot of possessions and gold, and they would bury food, and, you know, and then somebody comes along, an archaeologist comes along and finds King Tut's tomb, and guess what? It's all still there. They didn't take one grain of wheat with them. The gold, unless the robbers had broken in, is still there. Because when we leave this earth, we're going out naked with not one dime, not one thin dime. And he sees that. He sees that. He sees that what the Apostle Paul wrote. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we're not taking anything out of the world. He saw that. And then he utters this great statement of faith. He looks up to God. He looked back, he looked forward, and then he looks up. And he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, it's one thing to say, the Lord gave. It's even another thing to say, oh, the Lord's taken it all back, taken away. But to say, blessed be the name of the Lord in the midst of that. I'm going to tell you what, folks, that's faith. Faith praises God in the midst of suffering. Looks up and blesses God. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about another one of my favorite preachers. I remembered his name, and maybe some of you will recognize it, E.V. Hill. Famous black preacher. I'll never forget the first time I heard Reverend Hill preach. It was at a chapel at Trinity University. I think Linda was there. And I never heard him preach before. I got to chapel early, and it was in a small room, and everybody had to go to chapel. You were required, so everybody was there. But I got the seat like that was right in front of him, like right here. I'm going to tell you, you want to hear somebody preach. I mean, this man could preach. And I'll never forget that. I remember the sermons he preached. I remember the titles of the sermons. I remember how he preached them. But I have a CD back a number of years ago. His wife of many, many years died. And he called his wife baby, my baby. And she died. And the next Sunday, after the funeral, the next Sunday morning, he got into the pulpit. And his text was this text. And he said, the Lord gave. He said, I believe that the Lord brought baby and me together. And he gave me her as a gift. And oh, what a gift she was. What a soulmate she was. The Lord gave. And then he went through different things that how the Lord had blessed him through his wife. And after each one, he'd say, the Lord gave. He said back in the 50s and the 60s, and some of you remember it, some of you are too young. You remember the race riots? Remember when Detroit burned? He said back during that time, there were death threats on his life. He would get death threats and people that wanted to kill him. Well, it was during that time, his wife, he said, he didn't know what was going on, but in the wee hours of the night, in the morning, she would get up. And she'd be gone for a while, and then she would come back into bed. And he didn't realize what was going on. This happened for a number of years, and I don't know why he didn't ask her, but he didn't realize what was going on. He finally found out what was happening. She was getting up and going out and starting his car because she thought they might have put a car bomb in his car. And he said, and the Lord gave. And then he said, and now the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Folks, that's faith. Faith praises God and worships God in the midst of suffering. That's what Job did. He fell down to worship God and he said, you know, Lord, you gave me every blessing I have, and you have every right to take it back, and I'm going to praise you no matter what. That's faith. Now, let me show you another thing we can learn about faith. Turn to chapter 13 of Job. Chapter 13 and verse 15. Chapter 13 and verse 15. And here's another thing about true faith. True faith holds on to God no matter what. True faith holds on to God no matter what. It says here, the first part of verse 15, Job says, though he slay me, though God slay me, I will hope in him. Now, this is a little bit longer in his suffering. Now, the first statement there of faith was right after the initial suffering began. Now, time has passed. Now he's even lost his health. Now his wife has even abandoned him and said, you know what? Job cursed God and commit suicide. How'd you like a spouse to say that to you? She did. His friends come. And instead of saying, you know what, Job, we're behind you, you know, we'll help you, they attack him. They attack him. Go for the jugular. And he even feels here almost like God has turned against him. But listen to this. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Again, Warren Wiersbe says this is one of the greatest declarations of faith found anywhere in Scripture. Dr. Jeremiah says, this truly represents the ultimate of Job's faith, because the bottom line here for Job is that God is enough. Amen. He is not going to have a people telling him, Job's not going to have a people telling him how to believe in his God, along with Abraham's statement concerning the death of Isaac and Jesus' statement from the cross. This is one of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible. When Job said those words, God won his wager with Satan. You remember what Satan said? Take everything away from him, he'll curse you to your face. God, he'll curse you to his face. But now there was nothing Satan could do to destroy Job's faith and trust in God, even if God decided to strike Job dead. He says he'll trust the Almighty. What a picture of faith. When going through suffering, folks, we have a choice. You know, sometimes we say suffering, you know, makes us better. No, not always. We have a choice. When we suffer, we can turn away from God. And kind of, if we're Christians, we can't lose that relationship. But sure, we can turn away from him and lose our fellowship with God. That's a choice. Or we can turn to God and run to God. And that's what Job's doing here. If he slays me. You know, but you think about this. If you turn away from God when you suffer, What hope do you have? What hope do you have? What are you going to do? You know, you turn away from God and you say, I'm angry, God. I don't want you. I'll just forget you. What are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to? Alcohol? Drugs? Partying? Tell you what, there's no hope. Just like when Jesus, many of his followers turned and said, we don't want to follow you anymore. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you too go away? And what did Peter say? Lord, who do we go to? You have the words of eternal life. So we can turn to God. And Job says, listen, Lord, I don't understand. I'm in pain. But even if you choose to slay me, I'm hoping in you. Amen. Boy, that's faith. This last Tuesday morning, some of the guys, we meet for Bible study, discipleship time, and we watched a video on Tuesday morning. It came out of Joel Rosenberg's, one of his conferences on prophecy, Bible prophecy. And we watched that video, and in that video, there was a retired lieutenant general by the name of William Boykin. William Boykin, who spoke on the greatest threat to our country today. The greatest threat to our country today. And what he spoke on was the Muslim terrorism and jihad. I'll tell you what, you should watch that DVD. Very interesting. And he went through his talk and he shared, he had been, this lieutenant general had been in charge of special forces I believe it's Army Special Forces. And he was the commander of, you recognize, many of you recognize the Operation Black Hawk Down that was made famous in the movie Black Hawk Down. He was the commander of that operation in Somalia. He said, after what happened in Somalia, I guess there were troops that were captured and killed and captured. He said, after he saw how the enemy had treated his men, what they did to them, and how inhumane man can be to man, he said he retreated to a private place, to a room, and he said, I wept like a baby. And I looked up at God and I said, I'm angry. I'm going to turn away from you. I'm not going to believe. If you let that happen to my men, I don't want you. And he turned away. And he said later, he had to repent. He had to turn back and say, God, I am sorry. Because without you, God, there is no hope. He said, you know what? If this country is to have any hope, it's in God. And without God, there's no hope. And there's only hope in Him, in Jesus. So he turned back. Today, he is an evangelical ordained minister. That's what Job says. You know, if I'm suffering and I turn away from God, there's no, Lord, if you slay me, I'm going to hope in you. That's faith. Faith holds on to God no matter what. No matter what. Turn now with me, if you will, to chapter 16. For a third thing we learn about faith, chapter 16 and verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. And here's the third truth. True faith looks beyond the circumstances to a God who is on our side. True faith looks beyond the circumstances to a God who is on our side. Look at verse 19. Even now, Job says, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is on high. You see, if you read those chapters, chapters 10 through chapter 15, you know what Job's cry is? What is his cry? He wants a trial. He wants a fair trial. He wants a trial with God to present his case. But you know, he looked all around and he said, look to my friends. No. Look to my wife. Look to... There was no witnesses on his behalf. There was nobody that would be a witness to his integrity. He looked around. Who will represent me? You remember in chapter 9, verse 33, he said, I just wish there was an umpire. I just wish there was a mediator, somebody that could put his hand on God and put his hand on me and kind of bring us together. I wish there was somebody that would take my case and be my advocate. But I don't find anybody that's going to do that. My friends attack me. My wife's kind of abandoned me. There's nobody. So he looks up to heaven. And he says, God, there it is. He, you, God, I want a trial with you, but you're my witness. He calls on God himself to be his witness. You know, folks, God knows everything. He knows everything. He knows my heart. He is omniscient. He knows it all. Therefore, you know what? God is the best witness that could ever be. Although, when I say God knows everything, how does that make you feel? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes that makes me feel uncomfortable because he knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows every attitude. He knows every word. He knows everything. Kind of, I think, oh, Lord, but you know what? Think about this. That might make us feel a little uncomfortable or a lot uncomfortable. But it should be one of the greatest comforts. The greatest comforts. You remember that on the night before Jesus went to the cross, he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Before that cock crows, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. What Peter said? Not me. Not me. I won't do that, Lord. I'll go to my death for you, Lord. And yet what happened? Just like the Lord said, Peter denied him, denied even knowing him three times. And Peter was grieved at his own sin. But you remember after the Lord rose up from the dead and said, I'm going to meet you up in Galilee. And they went up to the Sea of Galilee and met the Lord there. That Jesus asked Peter some questions. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. But he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my lambs. And just as Peter had denied him three times, the Lord asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? You remember what Peter said? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. feed my sheep. You know what? The Lord knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. He knows sometimes the awful thoughts I have, sometimes the bad attitudes. He knows everything. But you know what gives me comfort? He knows my heart. He knows I love him. And he knows you love him. He knows that. And even though I mess up, he knows that I love him. And he knows everything about me, and he still loves me. And he still loves you. Oh, wow. I mean, he does. And we're not going to get up to heaven and Satan be there and say, you know what Sutherland did? Boy, he really screwed up over here. Do you know that, Lord? Yeah, I knew that. I died for that one. No surprises. God knows everything about us. And he loves us. He's on our side. He's on our side. How do you know he's on our side? Sent his son to die for us. If he did that, he's on our side. Amen. Lord, I want you to be my witness. And not only do we have a witness in heaven, he said, I have an advocate on high. Not only did Job want a witness, he wanted a defense attorney. He wanted someone to represent him in his case. And he knew God would be his witness, but he knew God would be his defense attorney. Faith looks beyond the circumstances and sees God who is on our side. And again, as Christians, we know he's on our side because he sent his son to die for us. And if God would do that for us, how much more will he freely give us all things in Christ? If God did that, he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's on our side. He's for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You see, that's what John said in 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I write you these things that you may not sin. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, for those of the whole world. We have an advocate. We have a defense attorney in heaven that's never lost a case. And he's on our side. How do you know that? Faith. Faith seems, you know, it seems like everybody's against me. It seems like you're against me, God, but my witness is in heaven and my advocate is on high. And though all hell break loose against me, I believe God's on my side because of what he did through Christ. That's faith. Turn over to chapter 19 real quickly. Chapter 19, verses 23. Through 26. Number 4, about faith. True faith looks to the future with hope and courage. True faith looks to the future with hope and courage. Listen to these words. Verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That with an iron stylus and lead they were engraved in rock forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at last he will take his stand on the earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see not another. Verse 23, Job says, boy, oh boy, I just wish that my words were written down. I wish they were inscribed in granite. Job, he couldn't have dreamed that 4,000 years later, here we are, reading his words. His words were written down. And he goes on to say, he says, I know. As for me, faith is personal. As for me, I know. Not I hope, Not I think, not I wish that I could believe. I know. That's the certainty of faith.
Amen.
I know. What do you know, Job? I know my Redeemer lives. Hebrew, Goel. Goel, kinsman, redeemer. It's many times used of God, used to describe God as the deliverer of his people out of captivity and also the deliverer of individuals out of distress. What is he speaking of here? He's speaking of resurrection. Resurrection. You remember back a few chapters, he said, if a man dies, shall he live again? He's come, he's grown. He's come to realize that his Redeemer lives. When Job spoke those words, Jesus was alive in heaven. But that same Jesus would come down and inhabit a human body and be born and live on earth. And he would die on a cross. But praise God, that same Jesus 3 days later would walk out of that tomb alive forevermore. He's alive. And Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. See, he's looking ahead by faith. And he has seen that first Easter. But he's not only seen that first Easter. He has seen his own Easter. Because he lives, what? Job will live. He says, you hear what he said? He said, even after my skin is destroyed, even after this body is put in the grave and deteriorates to dust, one day in this flesh, oh, it's going to be changed. I'm going to even be more handsome. I know it's hard to believe. In this flesh, I'm going to see God. Well, I'll tell you, man, that's hope. That is faith. To see that 2,000 years even before Christ came to earth. He says, and look how personal, in my flesh, I shall see God. Again, just think, this passage is arising out of the ashes of a man who is broken. Yet he has hope. And this reminds us that no matter how bad things get, we have hope that transcends all difficulty. All difficulty. Our hope is in the risen Lord who one day will return to earth. Did you see that? I know my Redeemer lives and he will stand on this earth. And he will again. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know. He said, I know. He holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Our Redeemer lives. That's faith. That's faith. You see, faith looks to the future, and we have hope and courage. I don't care what happens in this world. I'll tell you what, we may go through some really bad times. All of us go through hurt times and pain. And we go through tough times. But this life is just a little time. I know it seems long sometimes. But we're going to spend eternity with Christ if we have faith in him. And because he lives, we have hope and courage. That's faith. Now, one last one. Turn to chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verses 8 through 12. Chapter 23. And again, number 5, true faith takes comfort in the fact that God knows our way. God knows our way. Listen to what he says. Job says, behold, I go forward, but he is not here. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right. I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept my way and not turned aside, his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And what he's saying here, folks, is, I'll tell you what, I'm going through it. And have you ever had that experience? You're really hurting, and you look for God. God, are you here? No, I don't see him here. How about behind? Where are you, God? Can't find him. How about on the right? No, I don't see him here. What about here? No, you're not there. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Job said he looked all around, couldn't see God. But he said, you know what? It's not important. Because he knows my way. I don't know where he is, but guess what? He knows where I am. He knows. He has his eye on me. And he won't let me suffer beyond that which you're able. He might even lead me into the fire, but he has his hand on the thermostat. And when I am tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. Do you see that? We're going to get into this, Lord willing, next week about the purpose of suffering. But this is one of them right there. This is one of them right there. You know what? Gold does not fear fire. Fire does not destroy gold. Fire purges and purifies gold, making it more precious and valuable. And when God allows us to go through suffering, you know what? There's a purpose. There is a purpose. And he says, when I am tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. The trials are going to work for me, not against me. And you know, his response, though, is very interesting. Because he said, in the midst of it all, I didn't turn my feet. My feet kept to his paths, and I held fast to his commandments. You know, that's, folks, that's what God wants us to do, be obedient. Be obedient. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. It's obeying in spite of the consequences. Did you get that? Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. It's obeying God in spite of the consequences. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know, when you're going through suffering, you need to eat. But more than even eating food, you know what you need? You need the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to dive into his Word and seek and meet the Lord in his Word. That's what Job did. And he said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Faith takes comfort in the fact that God knows our way. I may not see him, but he sees me. He's there. I want to end with a story this morning. It comes out of a book named Miracles in Courage by the author Monica Dixon. It's the story about a little 2-year-old boy named David. And David was being treated for leukemia in Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, 2 years old. His physician was Dr. John Truman. And he gave the little child a 50-50 chance of surviving. And David went through many painful treatments. His mother, Deborah, found it really, really hard, as you can imagine, to watch her little son suffer. And although he always cried during the treatments, he never cried in the waiting room. Never cried in the waiting room. He knew that when he went into the clinic, Dr. Truman would stick him with needles and hurt him. Yet whenever his name was called, he would hurry ahead of his mom and greet all the nurses with a smile. He had trouble pronouncing the letter R. So he would call the doctor. He would greet him. He'd say, "Hi, Dr. Tuman. Hi, Dr. Tuman." Soon after he turned 3 years old, David had to undergo a very painful spinal tap, which is the removal of fluid from the lumbar region of the spinal cord. And he was scared, but he put on a brave front. His mom told him, "Dr. Truman has to do this to make you well, honey. I know it hurts, but Dr. Truman only does this because he loves you." The procedure was horribly painful. And Deborah was in agony as she watched her son squirm and scream. Took three nurses to hold him down. But when the procedure was over, the little boy, soaked with sweat and tears, looked up at the doctor and said, "Thank you, Dr. Tuman, for my hurting." And folks, the spirit of David was the spirit of Job, who with eyes full of tears could say with faith, "I trust you, God, no matter what. I don't understand, but I trust you." Faith sees that God knows the way and he loves us. And when we are tried, we will come forth as gold.